Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week. I trust you have been enjoying the series that we are doing as we revisit the book of Revelation, and we are going to really make some comparisons with the book of Revelation to Matthew 24 and the Olivet Discourse, both through Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to show you how in sync they really are. We've already recorded probably, I think, 7 programs on this, and I'm trying not to be too exhaustive. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here to Revelation 4 today, because I have already written extensively in this book about the 7 churches. This is a letter to the churches on the book of Revelation. This was one of my first books. This book has went all over the world. And if you don't have this book, I highly, highly recommend you get this book, because I go into detail about the 7 churches. And the key thought with these 7 churches is that everything he tells them to overcome is the stuff that keeps them from moving into a new covenant paradigm. Let me just give a little bit of brief overview. To the church at Ephesus, he begins to write to them, and he says, I have somewhat against you. He said, because you have there them that call themselves apostles, but they're liars. And he said, they've taught you, he said, and you have labored, and you have worked, and you've worked, and you've labored. See, false apostles under an old covenant paradigm will teach you works and labor, labor and works, works and labor. And he said, you did it for my namesake. See, when I was in legalism, I did it because I loved Jesus, because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. But then he says in that same church, remember from whence thou art fallen. And what we normally do is as we go back and we think about where I fell from Saturday night. But he adds to that at the end of that church, he says, and if you overcome, I will give you to eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God. So when I think about him saying, remember from whence thou art fallen, and then the promise is a restored tree of life in the Garden of Eden, I'm thinking in terms of this is not where you fell from last Saturday night. This is where the original fall took place. When you thought through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and through performance-based Christianity that becomes the fig leaf. And you need to go back and watch last week's segment, because I talked about the fig tree being cursed right after Jesus' triumphal entry. And it's not just talking about some random thing he's doing because there's no fruit. He's talking about a system of religion that can only put up a good apron. And so when he does that, he curses that fig tree. And what he's doing is he's trying to show you that he's returning you back to where you fell from. You ate the wrong tree. And he says to them in Revelation, to the church at Ephesus, to him that overcomes, he'll eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God. So he's connecting that where you fell from to bring you back to restoration and redemption. And it is for moving from the old covenant performance to a new covenant. I mean, all through those 7 churches, there's that thread. The last one especially, to him that overcomes, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And that supping with you is him eating the covenant meal of the Passover, which indicates a new Exodus is afoot. And I shared that also a few weeks ago on one of these programs. And if you've missed them, please go back to my YouTube channel and watch them, because you can watch them on demand, or you can go to the podcast, listen to the audio portions of it. It's all available on my website. And I encourage you to do that, because there's no way you're going to get it all just watching it one time. But when he says to them in the church at Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The key words here are door. And then he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open to me, I will come into him, will sup with him. That's the covenant meal, he with me. And then he goes on to say, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. And then chapter 4 opens, and we think somehow we went to heaven. And the reality says, after this, I looked and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. Now, that's the same door he was knocking on in the verse above that. There's a door that's open, and it's an invitation into the throne room. And I heard a voice which like a trumpet saying with me, come up here. He's not telling you to come up in the rapture. He's telling you to move from an old covenant to a new covenant. He's talking to moving from the earthly to the heavenly dimension. And I'll show you things must be hereafter. So he's going to show John the revelation of what's about to take place here immediately. And he was set. And then there's a throne that's set in the heavens. And there are, let me go to chapter 4 now, because of what it does is that sets you up. When you move from that old covenant to a new covenant, they're moving, you see, even the terminology, church, is used to describe the church in the wilderness. God says this, when he called them out, the word ecclesia means the called out ones, he calls them the church in the wilderness. And the word church means called out ones. So what he's calling the church out of in the book of Revelation is he's calling them out of the old covenant and into the new covenant. And by the time you get to chapter 4 and you don't see the church after that, it's not because there was a rapture. It's because the church is no longer coming out. They've now been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And you see represented in that throne, the kingdom of God, and that invitation that was given to us in chapter 1 to be kings and priests and to rule and reign with him. And then you see this incredible rainbow around the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and that rainbow is a symbol again of covenant. Remember Noah, when God put the cloud in the earth, he's talking about a symbol of a covenant, that this is the token of the covenant that I'll make. So God is showing you that this kingdom, this throne, and this new covenant, and there's one seated on the throne that we talked about in the last segment in Daniel chapter 7, where Jesus has received his coronation as king. What got the apostles in the early church in trouble was not a message that says, come to Jesus, and then when you die, you can go to heaven. What got them in trouble was when they were announcing Caesar is not Lord. There's a new king in town. And while Caesar may have killed him, Jesus got up from the dead to be the first begotten from among the dead. And he just trumped Caesar. He's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And he has the keys both of death and of hell. And he is seated at the right hand of God. And you see this throne operation, this kingdom operation beginning to be introduced in chapter number 4. And verse number 2, let me read this in verse 1. First, after these things, I looked. After what? After that you responded to the door that was being knocked on. A door standing open in heaven, the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat upon was to look upon like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne around about were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. I don't know if I'll get far enough to cover those today, but I want to talk about the 24 seats a little bit today. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones sat, I saw 24 elders. Now, if you go back and remember what I shared with you out of the book of Daniel in the segment before this, there were thrones set. And the Ancient of Days came. And the judgment was in session. And I showed you how that fulfillment of the prophecy, of the fulfillment of that text in Daniel chapter 7 was when Jesus stood before Caiaphas and quoted Daniel 7. When Caiaphas said, are you the Son of God, or are you the Messiah or not? And he said, from henceforth, he didn't just say, yeah, I am. Well, he does say, I am. He does say it very clearly, I am. And then he says, from henceforth, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and seated at the right hand of power. That's fulfilled here in Revelation 4. But I showed you in the prior segment how that happened, and that was the beginning of his reign during the time of the Roman Empire, because we read it out of the Amplified Bible to show you that the kings that were in power during that time was the fourth kingdom under Daniel, which was the Roman Empire, and at that time that he was seated. Now, the thing I'm after here is we connected some cloud appearings to that. You know, we were showing how that the cloud was connected to the old covenant mount with full of fear and trembling. Let me read this from Emotes. I said, compare the above verses to Hebrews 12. I'm talking about the clouds and the Mount Sinai. As the transition from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion covenant, from Sinai to Mount Zion, from Old Covenant to New Covenant. This is also what the book of Revelation is about, the removal of the Old Covenant Israel and the new bride of Christ. The kingdom is being given to both Jew and Gentile believers, as seen in Revelation chapter 5, when they sang the new song of the new covenant, saying, Thou hast redeemed us to God out of every nation and kindred and tongue. And the throne room of Revelation 4 is iconic of the new covenant with its rainbow and its 24 seats that represent a royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, and the Apostle Peter's declaration that in the new covenant, God restores his invitation that he gave first of all to natural Israel at the foot of Sinai when he was going to make a whole nation of priests, but they forfeited that for a mediator system. But 1500, 1800, somewhere around that number of years later, when the new covenant is about to come on the scene, Peter begins to introduce the idea that God wants to restore that. And he says, you're a chosen generation and you're a royal priesthood. I mean, we could stop here and talk about a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, because the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, he said, if there is a change of priesthood, there must of necessity be a change of the covenant. The new covenant priesthood after the order of Melchizedek is the assignment upon the new creation people of God to be participators with him in his new creation project. God is desiring to make all things new. And when he tells you that, even in Revelation 21, behold, I make all things new. Write these words, they are true and they're faithful. Then you start to see that the assignment of this king priest ministry is to serve bread and wine. That's all Melchizedek did, was bring forth bread and wine. Well, what's bread and wine? It's the covenant meal. Jesus said, this is my body. It was broken for you. And this blood is the blood of the new covenant. And when you see him in Revelation chapter 4 saying to the church at Ephesus, or I'm sorry, Laodicea, he says to the church at Laodicea, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. Again, we see him inaugurating the covenant meal and the covenant priesthood that serves bread and wine. Our job as the church of the living God is to be a nation of priests that serve nothing but the finished work of Jesus Christ to a people who are in desperate need of something more than just rules on rocks. They need a new covenant priesthood offered to them. Let me just read this to you, because this was something that I pulled off of the internet a little bit. So the idea of the 24 courses of priests originates from the Hebrew Bible Old Testament in the context of the organization of the priest for the temple service. According to the first book of Chronicles in the Bible, King David organized the priest into 24 divisions of courses, each headed by a chief priest. These courses were established to ensure that the responsibilities of the priesthood were carried out effectively and fairly throughout the year. Each course would serve for 1 week at a time, twice a year, during the major feasts and sacrifices. The 24 courses of priests are described in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 7 through 9, where it is mentioned that these courses were established by King David with the assistance of the priestly leadership. Each of these courses or divisions had its own chief priest, and the members of each course would serve at the temple during the designated times. This organization was crucial for the functioning of the temple worship system in ancient Israel and ensured that the responsibilities of the priesthood were distributed among the descendants of Aaron, the brothers of Moses, who were ordained for this purpose. Now, see, to me, when you see these 24 seats, it's coming from this concept of a priesthood and the 24 courses of priests. I think that the argument could be made, I'm not emphatic about this, but I think the argument could be made that as you see these priests, that there could have been the people that were called out of Old Covenant, 12 tribes of Israel that became believers, and the New Covenant believers and the 12 apostles of the Lamb and those of us who become believers. And I think it's incredible that Old Covenant Israel was governed by 12 patriarchs and the New Covenant is governed by 12 apostles. Those are not accidental. That's the new Israel of God that is being governed by them. But it's a priesthood that's made up of believers. And these believers, I believe their job is to serve bread and wine. It's to bring about the new covenant. And so when you see this, you could see some incredible things that are happening there. Now, let me see. I might be able to get some of this today from the book of Ezekiel. And I want to show you that as you read this in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, there is in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a little book. And it's written within and without. But we're going to see that comparison also from the book of Ezekiel. Now, this is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. It says, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of the fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness of the cloud round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." Now, if you read that, and I didn't tell you where that was from, you would have thought, hey, I either read that from Revelation 1 in the description of the one walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks, or you would have thought I've read it from the book of Revelation. So I'm going to read the book of Revelation and make this comparison with you to show you there's a striking resemblance from Ezekiel to Revelation. And chapter 4 of Revelation, it says verses 1 through 7, "After this I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Now see, striking resemblance to Ezekiel, almost an exact replica. "Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like that of a flying eagle." I want to stop and deal with that, but I won't do it in this segment except to say that these 4 beasts are also the 4 centermost tribes of Israel: Judah, Dan, Ephraim, and I believe it was Manasseh. I'm not sure exactly, but the four innermost tribes, when they were camped in the shape of a cross, 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, they were faced with the tabernacle in the middle. In other words, it was the centerpiece of their community, was their temple and their tabernacle. In the new covenant, the centerpiece is Jesus, who is our tabernacle. That's where our faces are turned towards. There could also be, I think, argument made that these 4 face living creature is the face of Jesus and the 4 gospels. He is the suffering servant of Jehovah. He is the Son of Man. He is the flying eagle. He is the, of course, the lion. And you can see the striking resemblance in those things. Those are all possibilities. That's not what I'm after today. But you could explore in Ezekiel, but you could explore the comparison between Ezekiel 2 and 3 because it talks about the rebellion of the house of Israel and how there was a little book that was written within and without. And lamentations, mourning, and woe are in it in chapter 3. He is told to eat this little roll because it was sweet to the mouth, bitter in the belly. This could be compared with Revelation where John is told to eat the book. It is also possible that Revelation, the 4th chapter, the little book that is open, is the lamentations that God was about to release upon the rebellious house of Israel. Because in Ezekiel, he's addressing the rebellious house of Israel, but he's about to release these judgments upon the rebellious house of Israel again in 70 AD. There's a striking resemblance to these texts when comparing them. The fact that Great Babylon is mentioned in the book of Revelation is a type and shadow of rebellious Israel. Now, let me go here and read this to you in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, and when he spake unto me, he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee the children of Israel to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this day, this very day. And they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee into them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And then you go down to verse 8 of that. It says, But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentation, mourning, and woe. In chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verses 1 through 4, he says, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to be eat, and to fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said to me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Here's what I did. I wrote this in my notes. This little book could have two meanings. One, it was to the seven churches who have repented. They are singing the song of redemption. They sang a new song, singing, Thou hast redeemed us, but thou hast redeemed us. For the rebellious house of Israel, it was the judgment of Ezekiel. Now, let me read this to you from Revelation 5. Now, remember, we see a striking resemblance of the same exact replica of the throne room, the rainbow, the one seated on the throne, and the little book that was about to be opened. Then you go to Revelation. If I had not told you Ezekiel was the text I was reading from, you would have thought I was reading from Revelation 4 and 5. See, the Bible will interpret itself if you'll let it. But when you get to Revelation 4 and 5, the one seated on the throne has a little book, and it's about to be opened. And John said, I wept much because no man could take the book and loose the seals and open the book. And then the angel of the Lord said, John, don't weep any longer. There's a lion out of the tribe of Judah that has prevailed. He's going to take the book and he's going to open this little book. Now, what I want you to see is, for apostate Israel, in this little book was lamentation, mourning, and woe. It was the curses, again, of Deuteronomy. And when we get to this, we're going to show you comparisons between the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Revelation. And when they opened this book, look at this in chapter 5. This is chapter 5, Revelation. It says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and without, on the backside sealed with seven seals. Same description as Ezekiel. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, and neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Striking resemblance, again, to Ezekiel. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Now, let me read this to you from Revelation 10 again. This is, again, the same verbiage that he uses in Ezekiel. Revelation 10, verse 1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. His face was, as it were, the sun. This guy had his head behind door number 3 at the throne because he's got a rainbow on his head. He sees the covenant. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had opened, cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which are written, that the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand and swear by him that lives forever, who created heaven and all things that therein are in the earth and the things that there are in, and see when the things which are in, that there should be no more intervention of time, that there should be any more waiting or delay, is what the Amplified Bible says. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me, and again he said, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And he said, I went unto the angel, and he said unto me, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues. I submit to you that this little book that's open is once again to apostate, rebellious Israel. It is lamentation, mourning, and woe. But see, here's the good news, and here's the blessing of reading this book and understanding it. For us beyond the cross, we're not singing lamentation, mourning, and woe. That was what was written in this little book, and that's what John was prophesying. And this seventh trumpet is in response to the martyrs saying, how long till thou dost avenge us? Remember, Jesus said the blood of all the martyrs would come on that generation. So the lamentation, mourning, and woe that's coming in the book of Revelation was to apostate Israel, who had rejected their Messiah and killed those that were sent to them. And he is about to prophesy to them lamentation, mourning, and woe. But here's the good news. And when you see a lamb in the midst of the throne, the lamb is to us the Redeemer, the Lion and the Lamb. There's a lion out of the tribe of Judah that has prevailed, but there's also a lamb. But this, the lion is his judgments coming as king. The lamb is what we're singing in the new covenant. And this is what we sing concerning the book of Revelation. Thou hast redeemed us from lamentation, mourning, and woe, because you're the lamb that was slain, and you've taken yourself great power and reigned, and you've included all nations in this, because I heard every under every nation, kindred, and tongue singing, you're worthy, because you've redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's what the book of Revelation is about, and we're going to continue this study. God bless you. Thank you for joining us again this week. If you would like to take a moment to just sow into this ministry, go to my website, and there's a place where you can give through our PayPal portal via your credit card or debit card. You can set up a monthly debit if you'd like to help us continue to stay on the air. Or you can give a one-time gift there. It's very simple and easy to do. It's a QR code on the screen. You can also send a check or money order to the address that will come on the screen, or you can call the phone number that will come up. And if you don't get an answer, leave a message and someone will return your call. But we do need your help. God bless you. Thank you for joining us again in this series.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.